is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Probably nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is everybody, Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. So,
was I on point there?
You actually were on point. Yeah, you actually took Noah's advice. You took Noah's advice and did it a few seconds earlier so that the delay would offset it. So,
I'm glad that worked.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Good Atta job. Boy.
Yeah. So Noah took a little 1 week break. I think he needed to just decompress. But he missed a great show last week. I mean,
I know.
He did.
Yeah.
I still can't believe you would miss a show at all, Noah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Sean
take it from my
that.
Perfect attendance.
Yeah. How dare I?
Shaking his head.
What were you doing, Noah?
I was actually at Six Flags. I was driving to Six Flags.
Noah, so. Two questions. Favorite ride?
Oh my! So I actually have a good story.
All right.
So I'm on the Superman.
Oh God!
First ride of the day, and it's weird. Like they have you like strap your legs into the bottom part, so it's like a hole you put your not your legs, but your feet in. So and then they like pull you back and up, and you're like flying in the air like you're Superman kind of.
Yeah. Exactly.
The second I get into the ride and they start going up, I get a Charlie horse, like in my in like
your calf?
No, like yeah.
Oh,
like a little bit up in my leg.
Yeah.
So I'm doing the ride, and I'm just in it was so much pain. I was like, right away, I was like, oh, I got a Charlie horse. It was the worst pain ever. I mean, it was awful. It was awful.
Oh,
so
man.
It was not fun.
Oh, well, how was it with, like, just COVID and everything? Was it, like, fine with the lines?
It was really weird. Like, the stuff with, you had to wear a mask during the rides.
Also.
Like, it was a pain in the butt, you know? But we had a really good time. It was busy, too, so.
Really? Did you go on King the Ka?
Yes, we did. I did not.
You're such a chicken.
Noah?
I went.
Anthony, I don't want to hear it, Anthony.
I went on it twice, Sean. I redeemed myself.
No, the first time I ever went to Six Flags.
You had to redeem yourself.
The first time I ever went to Six Flags, I went on King Nika because Megan wanted me to, and I went in the front row. You had to see my face. Never again.
You should have seen
the
my
start
face.
Is awful, right?
Awful. When you're in the front and you're going down, you think you're going to death. It's over. It's over.
I didn't love it. I mean, listen, I really do like roller coasters.
I hate them.
But
they're fine. I enjoy them.
I try them, but oh my God, that is brutal.
Oh, so, it was brutal.
A good time.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Glad Noah had a great time on his week off.
I scheduled it with the boss.
Yeah, don't worry. He did not get paid for his time off because no one gets paid for their time off.
Ooh. Yeah. our big budget.
Yeah. But we got a great show. A lot of news has happened in the last couple of days and also in this past week. And I guess we'll start with the most recent news that came out on Thursday or Friday. It was announced that the Marlins hired a new general manager. And it is the first general manager that is a female, not only in baseball history, but professional sports history. Her name is Kim Ng. She's going to be the new general manager for the Miami Marlins, and she's got a pretty stacked resume. Before this, she was executive of baseball operations for MLB itself for the last 9-10 years. Before that, she was with the LA Dodgers working in their executive office, and before that, she was with the Yankees. She was an assistant to Brian Cashman during the 3 World Championships they won back-to-back-to-back from 1998 to 2000, and so that's where this kind of all makes sense, because who is the Marlins CEO? Derek Jeter. Mm-hmm. And those 3 years were probably the best years of not only you could argue they were the best 3-year stretch of his career, but for the team success, it was the best 3-year stretch ever. So it made it kind of when you figured that out, it made sense of why he did it. But this is just good for not only the game of baseball, but just sports in general, to have a female executive at that high of a position.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this was big. At first, I was hearing, wait, is she the manager? And I just quickly saw she's the GM. And honestly, no matter what, it's a great position, but being the GM is a bigger role, bigger play, so it's great to see that. And I hope this is like a stepping stone for other sports and women going forward. And Noah's probably smiling because I said woman, woman going forward right now. But it's been great to see. One thing I really want to see if some other leagues start doing this is that like Becky Hammon in the NBA actually becomes a head coach for an NBA organization. So I think that's going to be the next step with her.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything. Like she hasn't been like talked about in like rumors about candidacies for head jobs yet. I don't know if it's because she's still comfortable with her position with the Spurs, but like I said, time will tell. It is going to happen at some point within the next decade. She will become a head coach. It's just a matter of where and when and if the timing's right. Because I wouldn't be surprised if she takes over the reins when Pop leaves. You know, Pop's like, yep. What? He's nearing 70. He can't do this forever. Like, he's going to have to retire at some point.
I was thinking the same thing, Anthony. That would be a great position for her to take over. But yeah, this is really historic, and Kim Ng will be a huge deal, and it's awesome for her to get this opportunity. And I was looking at articles, and it's like, finally, you know, this has been a hire 15 years in the making, even longer, and a really, really great moment for baseball and for women in sports. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and Sean, what are your final thoughts on, even though we kind of all took the words kind of out of your mouth, as you always say.
Yeah, man, when you go last, it's tough to, you know, bounce stuff off. But yeah, I mean, this is great for women in general, not just for baseball, but for sports. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of who is that coach that's on the 49ers?
Oh,
there we go, Sean. Little curveball action.
I don't. That's right. I know. I know who you're talking about.
Little 12-6 from Kershaw over here.
What is she? Is she a coordinator for the team? She's like a.
Yeah, she's
Katie
like
Powers.
A.
Katie Powers. Katie Powers. So.
Yeah. That's who she.
Yeah, I had to look that up. She's an offensive assistant for the 49ers.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, breaking barriers for women in the NFL. So it's great to see the NHL, you know, finally stepping up and getting women to higher power. So that's good.
You said, did you say NHL?
Did I say, no, I said NFL, did I?
No, I was thinking too much. No, oh.
It's all good. NHL, NFL, it's the same thing. Not really, though. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, baseball has had, you know, I mean, she's the first executive to be within Major League Baseball to have like this sort of leadership power. But look, I mean, the Yankees have a female hitting coach in the minor leagues, and she's gotten a lot of praise. You know, basketball, obviously, Becky Hammon. You know, who knows what's going to come next. I wouldn't be surprised if Sue Bird retires, if she steps into like to an NBA role or something like that. That wouldn't shock me because of her high accolades. You know, and it would be awesome if, you know, obviously the 49ers assistant, you know, that's great for them, but it'd be cool to see if we had like a female coordinator or an executive in there. You know, that would be awesome too, but it's just good for the sport in general. We talked about this a lot in you know, Dr. River's class about, you know, equality in sports and, you know, how, you know, a lot of men have a lot of power in the industry. So it's great to see that, you know, we're starting to see a balance shift. And I think from here on, it's only going to get better in terms of just women breaking through in sports and just having a bigger voice.
Yeah, and also don't forget about the Giants with Alyssa Nackin was her name, being one of the coaches there too.
The San Francisco Giants?
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah. So baseball is also, and that was back in like January. So
yeah, I think you're right.
Also making that kind of step forward too. So this is even bigger, but look at baseball.
Yeah. Look, Robert Manfred is doing something right for once, even though he's still the worst worst commissioner in all of sports. He took the reins away from Roger Goodell. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about some other major news that happened within the New Jersey area. And there's a lot of controversy around it about how it all went down, and how, you know, the news broke and how not everyone was notified in advance. And it rubbed people the wrong way, and especially the organization that we're going to talk about after these underwriting announcements, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Nogu Gata, or otherwise known as Googs. So in the last thing, we talked about the kind of groundbreaking news that Kim Ng was going to be the general manager for the Miami Marlins. She's the first woman in sports history to have a general manager position, so congrats to her. But we're going to stick kind of with baseball and the New York Yankees itself, as some pretty big news happened with them and their minor league affiliates. It was announced a couple weeks ago that the New York Yankees and the Somerset Patriots, who were a independent league team in the Bridgewater Somerset area, which is about 10 to 15 minutes away from where me and Sean live, they're now becoming the official AA affiliate for the New York Yankees. And this is a big deal, not only for that organization, but also for the Trent Thunder itself, because the Trent Thunder found out about it like everybody else did through the media. They were not notified by the New York Yankees. They did not tell them, hey, listen, we're cutting ties with you, we're moving on to the Somerset Patriots. They did not give a reason. They just kind of did it. And they did it kind of shady, and it's kind of shocking that the New York Yankees would do that, because they're such, as people regard them as such a high standard class act organization, and you know, to pull a stunt like this, it just doesn't make sense. It's not like them, it's not like their character, but it hurts the Trent Thunder. I mean it was a big deal that they were the AA affiliate. It brought in a lot of revenue, a lot of money in to the Mercer County Trenton area, and now that it's gone, they might, take the Patriots spot in the independent league, but again, it doesn't have the same cachet as being the AA affiliate for the New York Yankees. So I feel bad for them, but I'm ecstatic that, the Yankee prospects are gonna be right in like my backyard and Sean's backyard. And if the players do go on if they go on rehab assignment, they're likely gonna come to Somerset, New Jersey.
Yeah, because it is closer than Wilkes-Barre, what is it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. And I remember actually at, who was it? It was when Brandon Drury was still a Yankee at the time. He was rehabbing with the Trenton Thunder. So I wouldn't be shocked if he went to Somerset with the Patriots at this time and sent him just down to AA. I like this move a lot, but I'll just get into Trenton's perspective. Look, that was what made Trenton a lot, with the Thunder. Very popular team. He had the little dog at the bats all the time. It got a house, And I think it just recently hosted the All-Star.
The minor league All-Star game.
Yeah, the minor league All-Star game. So it's a big deal. And with this being out of the question now, and now the equation for Trenton, it's like, what more do they have left? It is a bummer, and they did do him dry, but Somerset should be a great area. Great. That's in your backyard along with Sean. So I think we all can be going to games hopefully soon.
Yeah. And Sean, I know, obviously you're the avid Red Sox fan, to have, a Yankee affiliate, right by you. I mean, how do you feel about that? Are you excited? Are you, you have to be excited because, it's major league players possibly playing in the stand, but as a Red Sox fan, what are your thoughts on it?
I wouldn't say that I'm excited. I mean, it's definitely cool that the Yankees are right here, but like as you said, I'm a big Red Sox fan. Like, I'm not gonna want to go out of my way to see I will go to games, I will say that, but like, I'm not gonna give an arm and a leg to go see Giancarlo Stanton when he gets injured for the 100th time.
I knew that was
year.
Coming.
Aaron Judge, yeah. I mean, it'll be very cool because, growing up, I know you and I mean, not necessarily together. We have been to a bunch of Patriots games together, but, you know, we went to a lot of those games. So it's going to be cool now that the Yankees, like, affiliate team is there. I don't know. Like, it's definitely, I don't know if exciting is the word for me. For you, it's definitely exciting. For me, it's just interesting. I like the word interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's cool that, you know, some of the prospects that we have are going to be playing there. You know, I think we talked about this a couple of times on the show. The Martian, Jason Dominguez, our highly touted international prospect. He's only 17, 18 years old, and he's, like, you know, supposed to be this next superstar. And, you know, I think his next stop is Double-A, because I think he's only played in Single-A. So I think he'd come to Somerset, so that would just be cool to see him. If we can go back again, all will tell when we enter spring 21. But no, I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, you're the other Yankee fan in the room. What's your take?
Well, this is definitely closer to me, right? I mean, Somerset than Trenton, I would say.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, listen, I'm disappointed with how the Yankees handled this, though. The Trenton Thunder had no idea. And right now, the Trenton Thunder don't have players. Like, those players that were with that team obviously go to the Somerset Patriots.
Yeah.
And I talked about this in a couple of my classes. And I have had in my sports entrepreneur class.
You had, like, the general manager, I think. He comes to speak to Ari's class. Yeah, he did that for us last year.
Exactly. So Jeff Hurley talked to us, and his job is really not to worry about the players. It's really just to worry about, you know, events and different ways to bring in revenue and tickets, and how that's been a tough job recently because of the pandemic. I mean, this makes it even more difficult. So I hope that the Trenton Thunder can pick up the pieces and kind of, you know, figure stuff out. I mean, it is Trenton Thunder is what, Double-A, right?
So yeah.
It isn't the Triple-A. It's not the right under the MLB, but it's still
it's a big deal because of the fact that there are players that go from Double-A to the pros. And a lot of times, you know, I would say it's like maybe it's like a 50-50 split where, like, players who go on rehab or something, they either go to the Triple-A team or they go to the Double-A team. So, you know, you're going to get players because, you know, he talked to my class about how, like, when Jeter was rehabbing and, you know, the tickets were went crazy, or when A-Rod was there and stuff like that.
And listen, the tradition, the Trenton Thunder was, it's a big deal. And especially for that area, it was a really great thing for them to utilize and bring viewership and bring people into the door. So I hope that for their sake, they can kind of, it's a rough position to be put in. They did not expect it at all. They were, like, blindsided. So I just hope they can figure stuff out, and the Yankees hopefully can say, hey guys, we got to do better next time. We have to put them in a better position. I mean, it's common courtesy, especially when you've been working with an organization for as long as they were. So,
yeah, I actually think that's a great point from you, and also Anthony stating that they will get a full house, because I remember last year I was at a Trenton Thunder game on a nice, beautiful, sunny day, and I was talking with people, and they're like, one of the nicer seating areas, and they said, like, especially with the Yankee players, if they start getting injured and they got to rehab, such as Stanton, Judge, name anybody, Hicks even, they are going to get a packed house, man. And going to Somerset right in your backyard, I'll probably go to a lot of games. It's awesome. I think that they're going to really succeed as a Double-A affiliate for the Yankees, man.
Yeah, I remember when this first broke and we were kind of figuring out if it's true or not, and we were thinking about just, like, the parking, because, like, the parking, they have pretty decent parking, but sometimes people park in Target because it's, like, TD Bank Ballpark is across from, like, a shopping center, and it's, like, Target, Home Depot, Costco. So it's, like, if it comes to that where it's, like Judge or one of those guys is there, like there's going to be, like, no kind of parking.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk your way over there.
Like, yeah, it'll be interesting. It's going to create a lot of traffic in that area. You know, I'm excited for what they're going to do in terms of, like, events. and promotions, you know, and all that good stuff. But not even
the parking will be a problem, though. You also got to realize that, like the prices are definitely going to go up.
Yeah,
you have like Yankee superstars playing, like right in the middle of Bridgewater, like that's crazy.
Yeah,
Somerset, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a pretty and their facility is really nice. Like they have like obviously the stadium. They have a physical therapy center, I think, upstairs. In the stadium. So I mean, yeah, they got a good facility, and you know the players are going to enjoy it. And I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, we hear stuff about, oh, you know, the stadium's getting renovated because, you know, the Yankees are throwing a couple million dollars their way because they have it as being one of the richest franchises in the sport today. But you know, I'm excited for it. I think that, I mean, you are right, tickets are going to go up, because I remember they were like $10, and then like if you wanted like to have like the nicer seats, it was like 20, and then a box seat was like 50. So it was like, it was nothing. But now it's gonna go through the roof. And especially if like we have some highly touted prospects that come up, you know, in the prospect pipeline and they get really good, then it's gonna become a more expensive ticket to get. It's not gonna be kind of that cool kind of, I would say it could still be this cheap family outing that you can go to, but I think it's gonna be a tad more expensive, unless the MLB players come, and then in that case they're just gonna jack it up all the way. But yeah, I mean look, mixed reviews, you know, from this move. But you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees make a PR statement, because I know the Trent Thunder have, and like we said, they are very, very upset of how this all came to fruition. I'm kind of shocked though that they didn't like that. They really, I was like, you were really like that blindsided, like mm-hmm. It could have been like a contract was up or something like that, or you know, because I don't know, like it had to be something like that. Like I don't know how you could just drop it out of a hat.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it goes in business. There had to be a little something that gave them the hint of saying, hey, you know, we're gonna be going somewhere else,
or just getting the hint like this could happen. It just, I don't know. I don't know how it works over there. Maybe they didn't know. They were able to get out of it and not tell them. Who knows? Who really knows? But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, you know, well, I guess we'll talk about some more NBA trade rumors, because a lot of trade rumors are starting to circle as we near free agency. As free agency starts this Friday, as well as the NBA draft, which begins, I think it's on this Thursday. Wednesday. I was about to say Thursday. Yeah, so this Wednesday is the draft, and Friday is the start of free agency. So we'll wrap up, you know, kind of, you know, with that, and then the fourth segment we'll probably talk about maybe some NFL, maybe some hockey stuff. If there's any free agent news, we'll talk about it. All that and more after these underwriting announcements, only at 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today, it's Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. So, the last two segments, we really focused on baseball. I talked about the Kim Ng hiring, as she is now the general manager of the Miami Marlins. And also talk about the Somerset Patriots now becoming the AA affiliate for the New York Yankees. So we're going to shift gears, you know, talk about some basketball rumors that have been swirling as we are nearing the beginning of not only the NBA draft, which is on Wednesday on ESPN, but also free agency, which begins Friday night. And with it, you know, within a week, or in a couple of days, I should say, you know, a lot of rumors are happening, a lot of new developments, especially with one superstar in particular, Mr. James Harden himself, aka the Beard, shooting guard for the Houston Rockets. Apparently, there's been rumors of him being, you know, wanting out. You know, I've heard Philadelphia is an option, because as we mentioned in past shows, that Daryl Morey is now the general manager, but president of operations for the Sixers. So again, he's going to try to recruit his boy over there if he can do it. There have been talks about them trying to trade Ben Simmons to do it and other pieces, so that could be interesting. Serge Ibaka is being recruited by Kevin Durant to join Brooklyn. James Harden has also been rumored to go to Brooklyn. However, that seems a foregone conclusion as, you know, just the money that's involved. It's just so much, and we'd have to give up a lot. And I wouldn't want that as a Nets fan. I don't think Sean Marks wants to try to pull that off, because it would just take a lot of dealing and reconstruction to make it happen. There's also rumors of, you know, Chris Paul, as we mentioned in past shows, him possibly getting traded to LA. We're now hearing he might get traded to the Phoenix Suns. And we've also heard that Drew Holiday is getting interest from the Boston Celtics, and there might be a trade between them two where it could be a one-on-one swap, Kemba Walker for Drew Holiday. So, you know, Sean, I'll start with you. Out of those trades or anything I didn't mention, what are you most intrigued about that you've heard so far in the last week as stuff is starting to develop and develop pretty rapidly?
I just feel bad for Houston right now. I mean, they have been for the last few years, you know, one of those teams where it's like, maybe they can make a little noise in the playoffs. Like, obviously they're going to be a good team. They got the star power, but they've just never been able to cap off any good season. And now, like, they have the chance of Harden leaving. Westbrook is probably on his way out. I think he definitely is. We'll see where he's going. But yeah, it just seems like their empire is falling apart. Who knows where either one of them goes? I hope Westbrook goes to the Knicks, because, you know, as you guys know, I am a Knicks fan, and the suffering is just too much. So
yeah,
but like I said, yeah, the Rockets, they're the one thing that I'm the most interested about.
Yeah, I mean, you are right. I mean, look, their window. I mean, they had a window. They had a couple of times to capitalize on it. They did not. You know, and I think, you know, maybe it's just time for them to just, you know, start over again. And look, I mean, it happens. It's happened to a lot of teams, where you get close and it just doesn't happen. And you guys got to reset. I think they're at that point now. I just think the West has gotten too dominant, and, you know, the younger players and the younger teams are starting to make headway, and therefore Houston is starting to fall into a little trap. And start my falling down the totem pole. And I think Houston wants to kind of capitalize on James Harden and Russell Westbrook's value in trade for picks or for some young players, so that they aren't stuck with a bunch of old guys and, you know, they're not making any noise. And therefore, they got to take a longer time to rebuild Houston back up to possibly another championship team. And who knows how long that could be? That could be 2-3, it could be 5 years. We don't know. But, I do expect one of them to leave. I could see both of them leaving. The next trade, I do see that as a possibility. I don't know who you would trade, though. Like, who would you think would be on the trading block? Do you think it would be Randall? Because obviously you're not trading Barrett. If you trade Barrett,
it's not Barrett or Randall. There's some stuff on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, Westbrook.
All right, so I believe it was Frank Ntilikina.
Yep.
Kevin Knox.
Yep.
And what's his name? Wayne Portis, Ellington. Bobby Portis. And a second round pick.
Yeah, but I can see that.
There was also Wayne Ellington in there, but I mean,
Wayne it's like a Ellington. Nobody. What a name.
What a name, boys. Now, I honestly think that the next trade is actually possible, and I think there's a lot of pressure for that organization to make a star power move after thinking they were going to get Kyrie, thinking they were going to get Durant. They went to New York. Just a different team. Anthony's team. So,
okay, let's calm down a little bit.
You know, I think there's a lot of pressure. I think, actually, the best suitor for Westbrook and the most possibility is the Knicks.
I've seen reports that, you know, we are indeed on the short list for him. It's just, are we willing to take on that huge contract that he has?
Yeah, and I think it goes on for another 2 years, so you're paying $60 million over those next couple years for him, maybe 80. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long. I don't know how much longer it is. But you're definitely going to have to eat up some of that money, if not all of it.
And I think this is actually great, because all we've needed for the last few years, because we have not had somebody like this, we just need somebody that can attract other people. Like, somebody will want to come play with Westbrook. I mean, like, the Knicks just need something like that. So we're going to bring on Westbrook, hopefully. If we can get somebody decent from the draft that can, you know, give some support. I mean, the Knicks just need something. I'm sick of it. I'm really sick of it.
Yeah, and you kind of have to do it soon, because meaning like the you kind of have to have the trade in place and ready to go within the first day or two of free agency, because the last thing you need is for this trade to take forever, and by then like all the free other trades and signings are already done, you know, and then you're stuck with just Westbrook and, you know, a bunch of role players.
That's a good point, Ant.
So I just hope that whoever your executives are, because I have no idea who they are because they change every couple years. I can't keep track. That they do the deal and they do the deal quick and efficiently. You know, that's all you can hope for. You know, as a Knicks fan and also a basketball fan, because I do want the Knicks to be competitive, because I think this is, we've said this before, the perfect time for both teams to be competitive, because it would bring a lot of interest, buzz around the city of New York. You know, having two teams being, you know, rivals and competitors, and as long as the Knicks can somehow get to, not to obviously where the Nets are, but close to it, where our games are close and interesting, I feel like it'd be great for the city. But moving on to other rumors, obviously I did mention Serge Ibaka possibly being recruited to the Nets. You know, me and Sean did talk about this in terms of how they would reconstruct our lineup. I think he's going to play off the bench. Sean, you, however, do not think that. I think it's going to be Joe Harris. If we do re-sign Joe Harris, which we likely will because he wants to come back, I think it would be Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, Kevin Durant, and Jared Allen or DJ, depending on who Steve Nash wants to start. But you think Serge Ibaka. Why do you think that?
I don't know. I feel like he's just too good of a player to be coming off of the bench, which you can make a case where he can be like kind of like a super sub off the bench, and that's a little soccer reference. But I don't know. I feel like if you put Kyrie at the one, maybe LeVert at the two, KD at the three, Ibaka at the four or five. Because like we said, we were talking to our friend about it the other night, too, or last night. Jared Allen, he kind of struggles against the bigger centers or the better centers in the league defensively. And Ibaka can bring that defense to, you know, your starting lineup.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I have griped about this for a while of how, you know, I kind of accepted it for just that year that, look, Jared Allen's like, he's a rookie, he's young, he's got to build some muscle. But it's been a couple years and he's kind of like, he has put on some muscle, he has put on some weight, but he still gets bullied by the bigger, bulkier centers like Embiid and Jokic. And sometimes from the Boston guys, like from Kanter and Daniel Tice. So, and also at times probably Mitchell Robinson too. He probably bullies him as well. So, I do see where you're coming from, and, you know, just probably inserting Ibaka and DJ just to kind of lock up the front court. You know, I feel like it would be better and just put Jared Allen on the bench would not only help him, but also can make him more comfortable, because when he was a rookie, he played a lot with Spencer Dinwiddie. And, you know, I hope they don't trade Dinwiddie. I did hear those rumors as well that Dinwiddie's rumored to be traded, that teams are looking, are rumored to be interested in him. I don't want that to happen. I think he's too valuable of a piece for us. He brings a spark to the team. And I just think if they make that move, I'll just be very disappointed in the organization. But real quick, before we wrap up this segment, you know, Jrue Holiday rumored to go to Boston. Obviously, our friend of the show, Brandon Ng, he's a big Boston Celtics fan, and he actually likes this move. Jrue Holiday going to the Celtics for Kemba Walker. That is the trade to be rumored. You know, Dom, I'll start with you. Do you think that this is a good idea after only having Kemba for 1 year?
You know, yeah. I didn't know Kemba was a part-time magician because he knows how to disappear in the playoffs. So this is great. I actually like Jrue Holiday a lot. Very underrated. Very not talked about too much. Now, I think Kemba was a great move, but I think you can take the risk in trading for Jrue Holiday. He's stepped up. He's been with Philly and now New Orleans for so many years. He is 30. I don't know what Kemba Walker is right now.
He's around that same age.
Yeah, same age, I'd expect. But, hey, you got to see how it does. I really like Jrue Holiday. I think he's more of a pure scorer than Kemba, which Kemba's clutch. But now not being the only player on that Charlotte Hornets team, he's not going to be doing as much. I think Drew Holiday is going to figure his way out of it with Boston and, you know, have to be the guy besides just Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I actually would like this trade for Boston, too.
Do you have anything to add to that, Sean?
You know, I just like the defense that Holiday brings. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Kemba, he did kind of choke in the playoffs. I mean, he played
he
all
had,
right.
He had his moments. He had a couple good games in round one, but after that, he just didn't, was not right.
Yeah, you're right, Dom, when he said that he kind of disappeared. And also, Brandon, who is our friend that's the Celtics fan, he kind of got into it yesterday with us, and he was like, you know, Kemba's, he's like the third option on their team. You got Tatum, you got like guys like Brown who can, you know, score pretty well. So I feel like you don't necessarily need another scorer like Kemba. If you bring in that defense from Holiday, I feel like it'll kind of balance the team out a lot more. And I think defense is something that the Celtics really do need to focus on. So I think it's a great move for them.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that they need to focus on that and on rebounding itself, because that's another flaw that the Celtics have. And, you know, there's rumor that they could get Miles Turner. I don't know the details of that trade, of what the possibilities are that of that could be.
I think it's Hayward for Miles Turner.
But I think he has to accept. Yeah, but then he has to accept this player option, which he might do. Because I think it's like $25 million for the player option. So he'll probably do that, and then they might trade him. So, you know, all time will tell. Obviously, in the next whole week, it's going to be kind of busy within the NBA with all this coming up and with little over a month before the season starts. It'll be interesting, but we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Noah, I do want to hear your Jets rant. I know you said when we were off the air that you really didn't have a rant, but you know, we just, you know, the fans love it. They love when you talk about your Jets so passionately and so vocally about them. So we just need an update on where your head is at with your beloved New York Jets. So sure. That'll be coming up in the fourth segment after these underwriting announcements, only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasado. And alongside me today, it's Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. Wow, you
Let's
actually.
Go.
As Noah gets pumped, as we're going to wrap up this segment and the show with Noah's Jet rant. I think it's like a little segment we're going to have probably for the rest of the football season, because we're getting a lot of good feedback of how people enjoy just hearing you just be very vocal and passionate about your New York Jets and how you just want them to win. You just want them to be good, but yet they still and will always
be the New York Jets.
Still disappoint you. But you did say off the air, Noah, that you're not as disappointed in them. So this might not be the most vocal rant we've heard in a while. This will be kind of mellow.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little disappointment because of what they were doing till late in the game. But then again, yeah. Trevor Lawrence is looking pretty good in the green.
Take away with your this week's edition of Jets Rant.
All right, so, you know, Monday night rolls around. I'm watching some Monday Night Raw. And then I remember my Jets are on. And I was like, you know, let me just tune in. And once I was watching, I kind of got hooked. I gotta finish watching. And they were up 27-17 in the fourth quarter. And I looked at the clock. It was probably around 14 minutes. And I said, this is still plenty of time for Bill Belichick and the Patriots to come back. And I saw on Twitter people like, or I saw tweets and texts I got from, I'm like, the people were like, are the Jets going to win this game? And I was like, guys, calm down. Like, have you ever watched this team a second in your life? Last year they played the Bills. They were up 16-3, and they ended up losing 17-16 in the fourth quarter. So you got to keep your hopes to a minimum with this team. But listen. Was it that disappointing? They're 0-9. They have the best chance of getting Trevor Lawrence. And Sean did say it. I think Sean's right. I gotta say, for Sam Darnold's sake, he really has lost a lot. You know, he doesn't have weapons. He has Adam Gase for a coach.
Adam Gase is a disease. That guy, like I said during the break, he walks to the Dolphins, gets a head coaching position, ruins that team, takes them all the way down to one of the worst teams in the league. Brian Flores is doing a great job with them this year. Mm-hmm. And Adam Gase comes here, goes 7-9 last year. He probably gave Sam Darnold mono, honestly. That's how bad he is. And then he's 0-9 right now. So I'm not that mad. We're going to be okay. The team, it'll probably figure out how to be bad, but Trevor Lawrence is a glimmer of hope. But that game, listen, the amount of hate and all that I have for Adam Gase, listen, they lost. I'm kind of happy they lost. But it still doesn't take away the fact that this team shouldn't be this bad. They lost weapons, I get it, but 0-9, it's just the coaching's terrible. The weapons are both offensive, defensive. It's just it's not a well put together team, but it's okay. I'm okay. But
you're okay. You're good. You're surviving and thriving.
Okay. No. I watch teams that I like every year: the Yankees, the Jets. The Rangers, I don't have – and what do? I don't do anything else during the day. I lay down a lot. That's all I do.
Right now?
Yeah, I'm not even sitting down. I'm laying down right now.
Now, Noah, what would you do if Trevor Lawrence said, screw it, I'm staying another year in Clemson?
Well, you know what? I heard people saying that with the system that the Jets have, with the coaching staff that the Jets have, why would he come out? I mean, see, a lot of teams that are not good – at least you can see there's something there. With this Jets team, there really isn't a lot to be hoped for.
Yeah, no promise land.
Yeah, they don't have a good coach. They have a terrible coach. And even if you know he's going to get fired after the end of the season, you still are expecting a new coach to come in here, create a culture, and do something really good. I actually think the Giants with Joe Judge, I think they're going to figure things out. I really like Joe Judge as a coach. I think – you know, his mistakes are you know, coming through a little bit, but he's figuring it out, and the team wants to play for him. You don't have that right now with the Jets. And if you implement a new system and a new coach in there, I don't know where the team's going to be at next season, and that sucks for a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And that is why I do understand not firing Adam Gase right now, but it's inevitable. It's a formality. He's not going to be the coach next year, and if he is – it's an absolute joke. So, you know, we'll see where they're at. I don't know who they'll hire. Again, I'm hoping that they can get Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's all I can hope at this point. So.
Yeah, listen, that's all you can hope for. You just hope that – I mean, because nothing can ever be as bad as this season again unless you somehow duplicate it next year, which I highly doubt. Because no matter what, there is going to be shakeups in your organization in the offseason. And if there isn't, then someone's really got to start checking on the Jets and what they're doing over there.
And if you look at their schedule, I mean, they got the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They have a bye this week. Or no, they have a bye next week after the Chargers game. And then they have – oh, no, they have a bye this week, I think. Yeah, sorry. The 15th is Sunday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, tomorrow. So they are Sunday, yeah. So I'm a mess right now. Chargers, Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots. So, I mean, they could get a win in there, but it's not – they don't need to. So
knowing
I'm okay
my luck,
with
the Jets will beat the Raiders. Knowing my luck.
No, they're not.
You want to bet?
You're not going to lose to the Jets.
They lost last year to the Jets badly.
But this is a different Raiders team.
And this is a different Jets team.
A worse Jets team.
Knowing the Jets, they're going to play out of their minds against the Raiders defense. I know it. I'm calling it right now.
If I had to pick a game that they would win, it's either the Chargers or Raiders. I think the Dolphins are actually playing really good football, and I think they could sneak out a win against the Raiders. But listen, go 0-7 and just end it off.
You know, the Chargers.
Adam Gase, say to you later.
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers, I don't know. Instead of, 2-6, they should honestly be 6-2 for the way they lose games and all.
Well, yeah, I think Anthony Lynn's getting fired at the end of this year. Uh-huh. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for him, though, because I like him, and I think he's a solid head coach. And you know what? I don't think that the Jets should pick him, but I do think that he should get a job next year. I think he will do a good job with it.
Yeah, kind of like Todd Bowles. Like, Todd Bowles wasn't – he was okay Jets coach, but, you know, I think he is – where is he now? He's somewhere else, and he's thriving.
He's Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, and he's doing well, so.
Exactly. No, he's – and listen, I don't care what you say. Todd Bowles, like, people want – you know, after that one season, wanted him fired. Like, the team was terrible, and the players still wanted to play for him. And you can't say that about Adam Gase. There are problems in the locker room. He sells players out. He's just not a good guy. Well, I don't want to say that. He's not a good head coach who goes to bat for his team. I mean, the things he did with Jamal Adams and with Le'Veon Bell, how he handled those situations. I get their adverse scenarios, but like, you got to know how to handle your players, and he just didn't.
Yeah. So is that it for the for this week's edition?
I'm done. I'm taking a break. I'm laying down right now.
All right. Well,
he's got to recharge the batteries.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to recharge for next week. But that was this week's edition of the Jets Rant with Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise is known as Googs. And also, it's gonna do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in. If you want to catch more of us, you know, follow us on Instagram, @thesports_fever, Twitter, the same handle. Give us an email, thesportsfever@gmail.com. And you can also listen to previous shows on all podcasting platforms if you search The Sports Fever. But this has been this week's edition. We thank you for tuning in. Only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronc, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.